Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco. I'm here with my co-host, Walker Kelly, a.k.a. Big Daddy Ranks. It's the Wednesday Rankings episode. Walker, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Had a pretty chill day. Girlfriend's coming up tomorrow. Nice. Disc golf tournament this weekend. So, yeah, we're doing it up.
Is she going to wear your Letterman's jacket? Do you have a Letterman's jacket for disc golf?
I do not have a Letterman's jacket for anything.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of bummed because I got a text message from my buddy just now that was like, all right, so here's the thing. I was trying to say boys trip for the Kings home opener, but the tickets are $179 from the cheap seats. So forget that.
Damn. That sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's coming up, folks. It's a week. It's a month from today. Yeah. October 27th. Nice. So what we're going to do today, we're going to talk Walker's weekly ranks. We do a little breakdown QBs that Walker's higher on, lower on, toughest rank, most surprising, sneaky start, tough sit. And then every other position we do that. We also talk a little bit about Thursday night football. And then we get into our sicko stashes and sneaky fart of the week, which is a flex start.
That's correct.
Sneaky fart of the week. All right. So let's start with Thursday night football, Walker. So we've got the Packers and the Lions. We kind of started to talk about this a little bit on yesterday's episode, but we saved it for this one. Jordan Love, Jared Goff are both on heaters, but you have them 13 and 14 just outside the startable ranks.
Yeah, I'm just not a huge fan of Jordan Love has been really we can't keep letting him get away with this territory.
Yeah.
He's completing 53% of his passes. Do you understand how bad that is?
Is that good?
It's extremely bad.
Yeah.
But he's thrown for 7 touchdowns and 1 pick, and he ran for a touchdown last week. So he's had 3 consecutive decent to very good fantasy performances, despite the fact that he's a pretty bad real-life quarterback. And I feel like that's going to slow down. This is not a particularly tough matchup with the Lions, but it's not necessarily easy either. It's kind of just there. So I don't know. I think I personally would try not to start him tomorrow or either of these quarterbacks, really. But if you have to, you have to. I mean, it's not I don't think either of them would kill you.
Yeah, so you're sitting at Jordan Love, his floor this season has been QB 16, but I think his floor could be a lot lower this week. Again, short week, like you said, and then Jared Goff's been 18, 6, and 14. So, like, neither's the worst starting guy to start, but neither one's the best. I think that's kind of where they fall. They're falling in this season. So,
yeah, I mean, the guys ahead of them from, like, 10 to 12 are just guys that I think have, like, more advantageous matchups, honestly.
Brock Purdy, Joe Burrow, Geno Smith.
Right.
So that's the quarterbacks. I'm gonna skip the running backs really quick. I'm gonna do wide receivers. So you have Amon-Ra St. Brown at 8, must start. And that's it for this game. Nobody else. Is that assuming that Christian Watson plays or Christian Watson doesn't play?
At this point I think he's gonna play.
Okay.
But I am not exactly sure how much he's gonna play, and I don't know how much that's gonna affect the other receivers in this room either. I mean, it's been kind of mostly it's been bailed out by touchdowns. Dobbs had 12 targets this past week, which is great. But other than that, it's mostly just been touchdowns that have been saving these guys. So, you know, if Christian Watson's playing like half the snaps and then Romeo Dobbs is playing like 70% and Jaden Reed's playing 60% or something, I don't have any clarity on it right now. And I don't think any of them are so good that you have to start them.
Yeah, and I think that with the wide receivers, you want Christian Watson to blow up on your bench. You want to see that happen without risking the start, because then you can start him next week. But I, like we talked about on yesterday's episode, I don't trust this hamstring. I just don't trust guys in their first game back from their hamstring injury.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, so let's talk about the running backs now. So Aaron Jones, Jahmyr Gibbs, you both have as running back twos. Aaron Jones, 14, Jahmyr Gibbs, 16. I'm trusting It's going to sound very hypocritical, but I'm trusting the Aaron Jones hamstring more just because running back versus speed wide receiver, they're different skill sets. Sort of the same reason why Achilles tears aren't devastating for edge rushers, but they are for running backs. They're different skill sets, so I'm not worried about the hamstring thing for Aaron Jones.
No, I mean, I think both Jones and Watson are healthy enough to play. I think Jones was closer on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think he probably could have gone if it was like a playoff game, but I don't. They just didn't want to push it, which is understandable. They ended up winning the game anyway, so it didn't matter. But yeah, I think Jones is, he's not going to be 100%, but I feel like he'll be pretty close. And if he's playing, he's too good to not start.
Yeah, so like you have him as a solid start, not even a flex question. So we won't even ask about that. You have him in the same tier. I'm guessing this tier starts at DeAndre Swift and goes to... Ooh, I'm trying to figure out where this tier stops. Miles Sanders? Joe Mixon? Miles Sanders.
I would have a big tier from like Raheem Mostert at 7 down to probably Jones at 14.
Oh, dang. Okay, so Jones and then Javonte Williams is the next tier. Okay, so that means Jahmyr Gibbs is a tier down from Aaron Jones, but you're still starting him this week. You have him at 16. Dave Montgomery is questionable to play in this one. I don't think he plays.
Oh, he's playing.
He's playing?
I'm pretty sure. Dan Campbell has said he was most positive that Taylor Decker and David Montgomery would play of the questionable guys.
Oh, damn. Well, that's news. So, okay. So yeah, I see David Montgomery. You have a 26 out of flex, but, Jahmyr Gibbs, are you worried? I just want you to repeat kind of what you said yesterday for the non-Patreon audience. Are you worried about the one target from this weekend, Walker?
No, because they needed to use him as the closer, and so he ran the ball a bunch at the end of the game. Also, they kind of knew they were going to have to do that, so in order to not give him 30 touches and run him directly into the ground, they decided they were going to cut back on his receiving usage and focus more on the running game. I think that with Montgomery relatively healthy, I still think Gibbs will have a bigger role than he had the first 2 weeks, but he will shift some of those touches over to receptions. I think he's probably more going to be in the like 9 carries, 4 targets range. But with as good as he's looked on the field, I think that that's absolutely playable because he's probably going to catch all or all but one of his targets for about 9 or 10 yards of reception. So that's 5 or 6 points right there. Mm-hmm. And then if he's averaging 5 yards a carry, even that's another 4.5, 5 points. So you're already at double-digit points, and then if he scores a touchdown, you're in RB1 territory.
Yeah, so I think that's a perfect breakdown of Gibbs. And then, like we said, you have Dave Montgomery 26 as a flex, and then A.J. Dillon a sit. Honestly, we were talking about yesterday potentially moving him off of your rosters if you need to.
Yeah, he has played very poorly this season. His lateral mobility looks non-existent.
Yeah, and so, Walker, how do we feel about rookie tight ends?
Oh, I think they're great. I've never said a bad word about a rookie tight end in my career, except for Dalton Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid, tight end 22 this week. So, right. But the tight ends in this game, you have Sam Laporta at 6, Luke Musgrave at 8. They're both must-starts. You have Luke Musgrave ahead of guys like Hunter Henry, Logan Thomas, Gerald Everett, Kyle Pitts, Pat Freiermuth. Quite a run of guys to have him ahead of.
Yeah, the matchup is really good. Detroit has been bad against tight ends for the entire Dan Campbell era. And honestly, since before that, Lions have been bad against tight ends for a long, long time. And it hasn't changed this season so far. In fact, they are the team that gives up, I believe, the most points to opposing tight ends right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Musgrave is a fairly consistent part of this offense. He's around 3rd or 4th in the pecking order. He will probably get no less than 4 targets, and he has a good chance to get in the end zone this week as well. So he is a really high level blob play.
Okay. Sounds good. So that's the Thursday night breakdown. So let's talk a little bit about Walker's ranks again. You go to footballobserver.com. There's a link at the top of every single page that leads you to Walker's weekly ranks. So let's talk about these first two quarterbacks together because they're playing against each other. Two quarterbacks that you're higher on than consensus. Justin Fields at 5, Russell Wilson at 7. ECR on them is 11 and 16. The over-under in this game is 46, so there's a decent amount of points that they think is going to be scored, but it's nothing like Dolphins-Bills, which is 54. So they think that this is basically the same line as Lions-Packers, which I see as 46.5. So there's going to be a lot of points scored, so you're leaning into both quarterbacks in this game.
Yeah, I would take the over on 46. I would say 50 points are probably going to get scored in this game. Both teams have awful defenses and at least have skill players on offense that can make things happen. So I would expect that this is a more poorly played game defensively than offensively, and therefore both teams will be able to score points. I mean, this has sneaky shootout potential to me. So I think Fields will be able to run all over Denver's defense, and that'll rack up points for him. And I think Wilson will be able to pass all over Chicago's defense in response, and he'll throw for multiple touchdowns.
Yeah, I would say that if I were to pick on a defense, I think the Denver Broncos is a good one to pick on right now.
Yeah. How about the one that just gave up the second most points in NFL history?
Yeah. And only didn't get the first one because the coach showed mercy.
Right. Like, could easily have just kicked a field goal and gotten the record.
Yeah, but he showed mercy. So Fields and Russ, Walker's running out there this week. Fields 5, Kirk Cousins 6, Russell Wilson 7. Those are choices you might actually have to make. So I wanted to run those down, those three guys. Then you've got handsome James Garoppolo. This is a 2 QB league play. 17th ECR expert consensus rank on him is 24, going up against the Chargers, who just let Kirk Cousins blow them up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Garoppolo is particularly good, but as Mike said yesterday, he's QB 15 on the season right now.
Yeah.
And he has been known to be able to beat up on shitty defenses. So I think Garoppolo will likely be a solid QB 2, if not even a fringe QB 1 this week. He's playing a bad defense. The Raiders also have a bad defense and will likely give up a lot of points to the Chargers, so they're probably going to have to play from behind. I think that it's a great game for Garoppolo, great game for the receivers. I think that the passing game for Vegas is going to be quite good.
Yeah, and Mike mentioned he's QB 15, and that's only because he played the Bills in week 2. He's actually been a top 12 quarterback 2 out of the 3 games this year. Jimmy Garoppolo has.
Yeah, but I mean, he did play Denver, who is awful.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh, who's
not great. Who is not a very good pass defense either.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that, like, it's not like he's notching like QB 15, QB 15, QB 15. It's like beat up on a shitty defense, good opponent.
Get crushed by a good opponent.
Yeah, then so now Chargers, shitty defense, Green Bay, good opponent, New England, good opponent. Then you get Chicago, Detroit, week 7 and 8. So
Chicago, bad defense. Detroit, to be determined, I would say.
Detroit, we'll see how Brian Burns is doing. So I drafted
Why would it matter?
Brian Branch. Why do I keep doing that? I drafted Brian Branch in my IDP league. Mm-hmm. I didn't play him week 1 because I was like, I'm going to start Jeremy Chinn and Mika Fitzpatrick. And then I started in week 2 and he didn't do anything. And I put Jeremy Chinn and Mika Fitzpatrick back in and he blew up again. Walker, this guy is killing me.
It's your own fault.
It is my own fault.
You should be playing him every week.
Walker, I'm a fantasy football player. I blame the players. That's how this goes. It's never I've never been failed. I never fail. I've only been failed.
You got to keep the defensive rookie of the year in your lineup.
That's true. That's true. I will keep him in my lineup from here on out. All right. So some quarterbacks that Walker's lower on. Anthony Richardson, you have at 16 going up against the Rams. ECR is 6. Is that fear that he's not going to play, that he's not going to play very well, or that it's the Rams defense is something that worries you? Why do you have him so low?
The Rams defense has actually been pretty solid against opposing quarterbacks, sans 49ers game. But they did, I don't think they gave up a touchdown pass to Purdy, did they?
The Rams?
Was that the game he had no touchdown passes?
Yes, he had no touchdown. I believe so.
So no touchdown passes against the 49ers. No touchdown passes last week against the Bengals. A good passing offense most of the time. And then week one against Seattle, I believe no passing touchdowns in that one as well. Maybe one.
I mean, it was 30-13, so hold on. Right. Let me look that up.
So one at most, but they've given up either zero or one passing touchdowns this whole season. So, I mean, I think the pass defense is pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say, low-key good pass defense. Let's see. They gave up one passing touchdown in week one.
Yeah, so one passing touchdown all year.
But let's see what the score was at that point. Nope, that was in the first half. So,
so that was a legit 7-10. Touchdown.
Yeah, it was a legit touchdown, yeah. But, yeah, I didn't think about that, but that's literally the only game of Brock Purdy's regular season career where he has not thrown multiple touchdown passes. It was against this Rams defense. So, low-key good. So, yeah, I'm out on Anthony Richardson. He's trash for this week. Speaking of trash, how about Trevor Lawrence? You have at 15 going up against Atlanta. ECR on him is 10. You're not starting him this week. You have him behind Jared Goff, Jordan Love, who we are just talked about. You weren't excited about those guys.
No, I wasn't. I just don't care for Lawrence this week. The Atlanta matchup is not a very good one. He hasn't performed particularly well. The offense looks stunted. It doesn't look the same as it did last year. I think it has a lot to do with Press Taylor calling plays and not Doug Peterson. And I'm not saying that it won't get better, because adjustments will obviously be made by the coaching staff and everything. But as of right now, Trevor Lawrence is not playing very well, and the Jacksonville offense is struggling as a whole. I don't see it immediately getting better, and I think I have to see it get better before I play Lawrence in anything that isn't a positive matchup.
That's fair. And it's, yeah, it's not that Lawrence has been playing bad either. It's, you know, some brutal drops. He hasn't been great. And it's the sort of thing where it's like the whole team, I need to see it before I trust it again. Right. But in a 2 QB league, he's too good to drop him.
Oh yeah.
To not start him. Yeah. You're starting it. Yeah.
You're still saying it. I mean, in my dynasty league, I have him, Cousins, and Stafford, and I'm still starting Lawrence over Stafford.
I might start Stafford this week. Good matchup.
Pretty good matchup, yeah.
Yeah, he may be under 50% rostered, and he may have made my article this week.
Well, I mean, Indy did give up. They didn't give up anything through the air really at all to Baltimore. They just gave up two rushing touchdowns to Lamar, which I don't think Matthew Stafford's going to be doing.
You don't know about Matthew Wheel Stafford. He's a new man this year.
His wheels have never been that great.
And he's 30, what, 36 now?
Something like that.
He's getting his second burst. He's getting his second wind.
For sure.
All right. The bad man you have at 20, expert consensus on him is 15. He's been 5, 27, and 10 in his 3 weeks, and he gets the Baltimore Ravens. The bad man being Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, not a very good matchup. So he's been good against teams that aren't very good on defense, and he's been bad against teams that are good on defense. And I think that probably continues all season.
Yeah, so that means if you have Deshaun Watson on your roster, you're going to have to find a 3 week replacement for him, because he got Baltimore this week. He's not going to score he's not going to score a lot of points. He's not going to score a single point in week five, and I will bet anybody that,
because he's on a bye.
He's on a bye, and then he plays the Niners.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, and then Indianapolis. So you're not going to want to drop him if you have him on your roster, because you want him for that Indy matchup, especially because, like Walker said, they gave up two rushing touchdowns to Lamar. And Deshaun has rushing as part of his game. But
yeah, if you drafted Deshaun Watson as like QB9, pick up Jimmy Garoppolo this week.
Oh boy. Yikes. Yikerooney. Or maybe a 0% rostered quarterback.
Well, I don't know who that is yet.
Yeah, I know. Well, if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't play, it might be another quarterback on the roster, not named Brian Hoyer.
Oh, well, if Aiden O'Connell is making his NFL debut, I will not be playing it.
It is a very sicko stash. All right. Toughest rank this week is Lamar Jackson for you at quarterback going up against the Cleveland Browns. He's been very inconsistent throwing the ball, but has been rushing a ton, and that's kind of been helping him.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to go away from Lamar, because any week could be the week that he scores 50 points. because he could always run for like 203 on somebody, but he hasn't been consistently good, and Cleveland is a tough matchup. So, you know, I don't think you can avoid playing him, but I'm not expecting like a huge blow up Lamar game this week, I'll say.
Yeah, I'm not expecting a blow up game either, but you're still starting him more often than way more often than not.
If you have like Russell Wilson, I would start Wilson over Jackson, but I don't think you would have any of these other guys that are ahead of him if you have Lamar. So that's probably the only scenario where you'd be benching Lamar.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, Walker, we got to go. It's the Republican national debate. We got to watch this.
I won't be watching that.
I will not. Breaking news, Ron DeSantis made that weird smile again.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
He looks so pained. Most surprising this week, Bryce Young at 22 going up against the Seahawks. Is that higher or lower than you thought? Because he's been 23-25 in his two starts this season.
Yeah, I think people would be surprised to see Bryce Young even anywhere near my top 25, but I think he's a decent streamer in a two quarterback league and a really good matchup.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is. He made the short list of guys that could have made my actually, he is on the list of my guys for streamers this week for Bryce Young. So Bryce Young going up against Minnesota. That's a great matchup.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So I agree there. Sneaky start, Brock Purdy, or as the kids call him, Brock Squirty, going up against the Arizona Cardinals. They did a decent job of stopping Dak last week, but you can't stop Brock. He does whatever he wants.
I mean,
and that's why he's like QB 16 on the season.
Right. He's fine, but the matchup is pretty good. And like you said, he throws multiple touchdowns most of the time. I don't think that's going to change in this one. I would expect a pretty standard, like 250 yards and two touchdowns from Brock Purdy, and he will be a back end quarterback one.
Ooh, just that platonic ideal. You can't be mad. You can't be happy. 250 and two. Dak Prescott is your tough sitting at 21 going up against the New England Patriots. Walker's coming around to my side.
I mean, I didn't have Dak in my top 12 before the season either. So
yeah, but I had him in outside my top 20
at one point. Yeah.
And then bullied. I was relentlessly bullied. So I put him at like 19.
Yeah. I mean, if you have, say you have, Jared Goff and Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott. Like, you almost assuredly drafted Dak Prescott, the highest of those guys, but you're definitely not playing Dak Prescott of those three guys.
Yeah.
I mean, there's scenarios in two quarterback leagues where you wouldn't even play Dak this week.
Yeah, that's very true, because a lot of the guys ahead of him were readily available late in drafts and part of a multiple quarterback strategy. So, all right, let's move on to running backs, Walker. First running back you're higher on, Alexander Mattison. You have him at 9. ECR is 18. I think people are overestimating the Cam Akers factor because Cam Akers sucks.
Yeah, I don't think Cam Akers is going to play very much. I mean, he has to beat out Ty Chandler before he can beat out Alexander Mattison.
That's true. He does. And this whole idea that people are like, well, Cam Akers is going to come in and steal touches because they traded for him. They traded like the least amount of stuff possible to get Cam Akers, a guy that knows the system.
Right. I mean, he's not going to be inactive this upcoming week, but I would be shocked if he got more than like 6 touches.
Yeah.
It's still going to be the Alexander Mattison show until further notice. And Carolina is a good pass defense with a bad run defense.
Yeah. Imagine a world where the Vikings had just bided their time. And instead of trading for Cam Akers, they just waited for him to drop and clear waivers. And then they went out and signed him. You would not be this excited for him. They just shortcut that process.
Right.
It's a 6th and 7th round pick swap 3 years from now.
Right. They just did this because they didn't want to be at the mercy of waivers.
Yeah. They're like, all right, we want that guy because our running back room sucks. So we might as well get another suck to add to it. All right. So James Conner, you have at 12. ECR on him's 21 going up against the Niners. He just scores touchdowns and gets a ton of touches. That's what he does all the time every week.
Yeah, he's probably going to have about 20 touches in this game. He's going to get a ton of carries because they're going to want to ground and pound and keep the ball out of San Francisco's hands. Mm-hmm. He's the only guy that gets goal line touches. So, yeah, I mean, he's just a really, really good RB2 that sometimes is going to be an RB1. This week, there's, you know, a lot of guys are injured, and we have some guys that don't have great matchups. So there you go. James Conner's a fringe RB1.
Yeah, and my brother-in-law asked me if he should trade James Conner for Brandon Ayuk, and I said abso-freaking-lutely. So if people are doing that, capitalize on this volume, because I don't think it's going to last all year, because it's James Conner.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably get hurt at some point, unfortunately.
It's what he does. All right, so the next running back you're higher on, Matt Breida, 27. ECR is 24 going up against, I'm sorry, 34 going up against the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, Matt Breida didn't do much last week, but it was the 49ers. He got a touchdown, so he ended up top 24. Seattle run defense is a, or running back defense is a little bit more forgiving to the opposition.
Yeah, and I also expect that Matt Breida is going to get a little more involved in the passing game, because I don't understand why they would continue to give it to Gary Brightwell when he wasn't any good at it. So I would expect Breida gets more than one catch in this Seattle game. And he probably breaks off a long run or two, because he's very fast and Seattle's run defense is not very good.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Yeah, Gary Brightwell, I think, is going to get pushed to the side, because dude has always been not very good.
That's correct.
Running back, you're lower on Kyren Williams. You have him at 18. ECR on him is 8. So he's still a running back you're probably starting. But at the same time, you might be in a situation where you got Zach Moss off of waivers. Mm-hmm. And Raheem Mostert drafted late, and you drafted, or James Cook late, and you started with Tony Pollard. So there are situations where you don't start Kyren Williams this week, but for a lot of folks, they'll be forced into it.
Yeah, he's more often than not going to be a starter. But yeah, there's a great, you know, easy scenarios. You have like Bijan Robinson, Alexander Mattison, and Zach Moss and Kyren Williams.
Yeah.
And then you're starting the top two in your starting running back slots, and Moss in the flex, and Williams, unfortunately, is on the bench. He's going to play a lot. He's going to get a lot of touches or a lot of opportunities, but he's slow and small and bad. So that kind of evens out as RB2 dead zone type guy.
Yep. All right. So you got Jerome Ford at 31. Consensus on him's 22, going up against Tampa Bay. Tough matchup.
Going up against Baltimore.
I'm sorry, Baltimore. I was looking at Alvin Kamara for some reason. Going up against Baltimore. I know what I did. You have Alvin Kamara 22. So I went 22, yes. Tampa Bay. Even though I have Jerome Ford highlighted right here. It says Baltimore right here. Anyways, going up against Baltimore. Tough matchup. Not very good running back. He had a big game. But he still finished as RB7 last week because he had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I just don't trust a guy who's running for like 1 or 2 yards a carry right now. Baltimore is not a defense that's going to readily give up a super easy passing touchdown to the corner of the end zone. So, I mean, I think there's a reasonable chance Ford could fall into the end zone again, but I don't expect much efficiency. I don't expect a whole lot in the passing game. You're hoping for a touchdown. He's a touchdown dependent flex play to me.
All right, fair enough. So Jerome Ford, or let's talk some flex. Jerome Ford or George Pickens going up against Houston.
Pickens.
All right. Jerome Ford or Garrett Wilson going up against KC.
Wilson.
Okay, try and find your break-even point. So Jerome Ford or Zay Flowers, number 38, going up against Cleveland?
Ford.
All right, Jerome Ford or Gabe Davis, number 43, going up against Miami?
Ford.
Jesus, are you starting him over all of your guys in the top 50?
What? No.
Oh, I'm going the wrong direction, that's why. Oh my God, I'm so stupid. I'm so dumb. I'm the dumbest person on earth. Oh my God.
I was like,
a moron. Jesus.
What do you mean? First off, I said that I would start Wilson and Pickens over Ford.
I know. Sorry. Jerome Ford or Courtland Sutton?
Sutton.
There you go. There's your break-even point. So, Jerome Ford,
the thing is, you were going the right way. You were just doing it the wrong way.
I know. I'm a stupid person. All right, let's forget this. All right, podcast over. Brian Robinson.
My break-even point is I would start Jerome Ford over Zay Flowers. That is it. I would start Nico Collins over Jerome Ford.
There you go. Perfect. Okay. Brian Robinson, you have at RB 29. Consensus on him's 24. Really scraping for those differences there. Not too much dissent this week.
If it's five or more, I can use it.
No, I know. It passes the mirror test. Don't worry.
That's right.
It's just like when you get down to five or more, it's like, ooh, there's not a lot of difference here.
I mean, I could have gone with some other guys, but I didn't want to go with somebody who was like borderline irrelevant.
Yeah, it's a fine line you have to walk where it's like a guy you're higher on by or lower on by enough spots who's also still relevant.
Right, exactly.
Because you can't be like, well, I have Devin Singletary at 39.
That's exactly the guy I was looking at. Yeah.
And everybody else has him as like 33. And it's like, okay, well, you don't want to start him either way. So
who cares?
Yeah. So Brian Robinson going up against Philly. He's just not very good. And I think they're going to be down.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't expect the running backs to be super involved in this one. I would expect about the same involvement as Robinson had this past week against Buffalo, which was 10 carries for 70 yards. He probably won't even be nearly that efficient against Philadelphia. I would guess he has like somewhere between 10 and 15 touches, and they're really inefficient. So if he gets in the end zone, he'll get you double digit points. But if he doesn't, you're going to be stuck around like five, and that's going to suck really bad.
That sounds like a running back three to me.
That interesting. Would explain why he's ranked where he is.
All right. Toughest rank for you this week is Zach Moss going up against the Rams. We kind of outlined how the Rams have a decent run defense. Also, Zach Moss is suddenly really good. I think he just works well with the Colts offensive line being well.
Yeah. I mean, last week he still only averaged like 4.1 yards a carry.
Yeah.
It was just that he got 30 carries. I mean, he's the only guy right now. So he's going to get a lot of work. He's not very good, but you know, that's why him and Williams are next to each other, because they're both going to get all the work and they stink.
That's fair enough. I mean, that's the exact right assessment. Zach Moss, not great, but better than he was in Buffalo.
I will agree.
Speaking of Buffalo running backs, most surprising, speaking of Walker coming around on guys, James Cook at 11. Bills are taking on the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't love that I have James Cook so high, but he's getting a lot of touches, and Miami has a bad run defense, so I would expect him to get between 15 and 20 touches, average like 6 or 7 yards a touch, and that's an automatic double-digit game. And if he does happen to score a touchdown, then he's an easy RB1. And even if he doesn't, then he's still probably inside the top 24.
Yeah. So it's just, like we said, don't watch the game. Just don't watch it, because you're going to get mad.
Yeah, he's going to end up with like 14 carries for 94 yards, no touchdown, and 4 targets, 4 catches for 28 yards, also no touchdown.
Yeah. So your sneaky start, Najee Harris versus Houston. You have him ahead of the man of the hour, Devon Achan, who you have at 24.
Yeah, it's all about matchup. Houston is at an fantasy awful run receipts.
No, they are a pretty bad run defense.
Yeah, Houston's a really bad run defense. Buffalo is quite a good run defense. Achan is still the second running back on his team. I think he'll get probably like 40% to Mostert's 60%. And against Buffalo, I don't know if that's enough to be more than a fringe play.
Okay. All right. You're going to get a lot of people angry.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be so mad at me.
All right. Tough sit. Breece Hall, 33 this week, going up against the Chiefs. I don't think it's that tough of a sit right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I had to put somebody there. And I didn't want to go cheap and say Damian Pierce at 25, because he's one away from top 24. So Hall is by name a guy that you should be starting, but it's a terrible offense against a good defense. He's not getting that many touches right now. I don't think you can justify it unless you're really in a bind.
Yeah, and Breece Hall, sorry, breaking news about the Jets-Chiefs game. Have you seen this?
No.
Taylor Swift will be in attendance.
Okay.
Oh, boy. This is what I'm talking about when I'm sick of the Travis Kelce stuff. Who cares? Who cares, Walker? All right.
Jeff is mad.
I'm mad about Travis Kelce. Let's talk about some wide receivers. You're higher on Jakobi Meyers than the consensus. You have him at 17. ECR on him is 25. You, me, well, Mike wasn't there, but he retroactively banged the drum. We're talking about this after week one. Like, Jakobi Meyers is a guy who's going to get a ton of targets there, and it's a good matchup.
Yeah, we've been saying since week one that this year's Jakobi Meyers is Jakobi Meyers.
That's right.
He's going to get a ton of targets. He's clearly the number two option in the passing offense that doesn't have a number three option. So he's going to keep getting, you know, in games where they're behind and they have to throw all game, he's going to get double digit targets. And even in games where he's not as involved, his floor is probably going to be like five targets. So with a guy who catches a high percentage of his targets, you have an extremely high floor. And if he does score a touchdown, which he did quite a bit more last season, then that's a wide receiver one. He's also playing the defense giving up the most points to to opposing receivers, the Chargers.
I like how you said he scored more touchdowns last year than before, when he scored no touchdowns before last year. It's like, well, that is correct.
A lot more than zero.
Yeah. So Walker loves narratives. That's why you have Adam Thielen at 22. ECR is 29. It's a revenge game, Walker. You're leaning all the way into the narrative, just like you always do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm a big narrative guy. No stats involved. All gut feelings.
All vibes.
It's a really good matchup, and Thielen's been getting the ball a lot. That's why I think he's going to do pretty good.
Yeah, Adam Thielen has 23 targets in the last two games.
That's so exactly what you're looking for.
That's, yeah. If you want a player, you want a guy who's averaging, who's getting over 10 targets per game. So, I mean, yeah, good matchup. Lots of targets. I think that'll work. 2-2 Atwell, you have at 24. Consensus is 35. Both consensus and you have him as a starter, but you have him as a starter in like a two wide receiver league back end going up against the Indianapolis Colts. They're a bad, bad defense.
Yeah, I mean, here's an example. I have a league where you start quarterback, receiver, wide receiver, or running back, receiver, tight end, and then three flexes. So okay. I'm starting Tutu Atwell in that league.
Okay. That's more than fair. Tutu Atwell also three pretty good games this year, so he's kind of becoming a guy that you can use at least while Cooper Kupp is out, but it sounds like that's not much longer. This might be one of your last chances to use Tutu Atwell. Because Sean McVay said he might be back in week five.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, that sure would be nice for like a third of my teams.
Yeah, I think it's half of mine.
Yeah, so keep going on Tutu Atwell. And so wide receivers that Walker is lower on. Walker never thinks about narratives, which is why Walker is not concerned about Calvin Ridley revenge game going up against the Atlanta Falcons. ECR is 32. Walker, or I'm sorry, 16. Walker has him 32.
Yeah, I would never, factor in a narrative. All stats, no gut feelings.
That's right. That's what you've always said. I've never heard you say anything different.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate that. And it's that kind of honesty and, you know, upstanding character that you come to the Football Observatory podcast for.
That's right. Calvin Ridley, yeah, you have him 22 or 32, ECR 16. I think this is the game. I think Kirk and Ridley kind of even out. They finally coexist because they haven't really coexisted yet.
Yeah, and I'm not high on Lawrence this week, so it makes sense that I wouldn't be particularly high on the receivers either. Atlanta, again, not the best matchup in the world. I think both Ridley and Kirk are playable, but there's definitely scenarios where you would be going away from them. I mean, like I said, I would play Tutu Atwell over them. I would play Marquise Brown or Cortland Sutton over them. So, I mean, you might have options.
Yeah, and this isn't one of the tight ends you're higher on. So I would just like to say that the passing game option that you are buying into this week for Jacksonville is Evan Engram, who you have at 4.
Yeah, I mean, Engram is he's got a Atlanta is worse at covering tight ends than they are at any other position. So yes. I think Engram will have a strong game while the receivers struggle a little bit.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's talk about Tyler Lockett. You have him at 29. Consensus rank is 19 going up against the New York Giants. I'm actually not sure what goes into this one.
I don't understand. I feel like I'm going insane with the Tyler Lockett rankings every week. Why does everybody have him so high every week?
Because he's Tyler Lockett. He's look at these fantasy points. 90, 6, 56. Those definitely aren't his weekly finishes. Those are right, how many points he scored.
Sure, yeah. So yeah, he's been good once and unplayable twice. You don't know what you're gonna get out of him right now, and I don't think I can trust that. Right now he's playing like a boom bust wide receiver 3. Therefore he's a wide receiver 3 for me. I can't understand why people are ranking him so high. I don't know how I've had to become a Tyler Lockett hater, and I hate it.
Ugh. Yeah. We are avowed Tyler Lockett lovers on this podcast, but I mean, it's hard to disagree. There's guys that I assumed were just cruising because I haven't looked at them, and Tyler Lockett's one of them. I wonder if that's what's going on. Like, people are just saying,
figuring he's been fine.
Yeah, well, figuring he will be fine, and he hasn't been so far. And so they're just like, well, I'm just going to slot Tyler Lockett in as like a back end wide receiver 2 and just call it a day.
Yeah, I mean, you'll never get that kind of lazy analysis from Walker Kelly.
That's right. Chris Godwin, Baker's bad. Next player. I was going to give you lazy analysis. Chris Godwin, you have at 30. Consensus is 21. I'm surprised consensus has him so high after 3 terrible games.
I mean, he's been just there. Like, yeah. I understand that he's getting a fair amount of targets, but Baker is not as accurate in the quick game as Brady was, obviously.
Yeah.
And he also likes to go downfield a little more than Brady did. So Evans has been the main beneficiary. Godwin has been left with, you know, the scraps as the second receiver on the team. And yeah, he's averaging like, what, 5 for 50?
Yeah, I'm looking at your ranks. I would take Chris Godwin, and I would honestly move him. Between DJ Moore and Michael Thomas.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Below Elijah Moore.
Well, I think Elijah Moore doesn't belong where you have him. I'm just pretending like Elijah Moore is not there. Because I think I would slot him in that like Michael Thomas, DJ Moore role where he's just getting some yards, some catches. He's not really doing anything explosive. He's just kind of going to be like a wide receiver 40 every week. Like, yeah. You're going to look at his final box score and go, huh, well, you know, good PPR game and move on.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much why I have him where I have him. I mean, he ends up around the same ranking as the boom bust wide receiver 3s because he's a high floor, low ceiling guy instead of a low floor, high ceiling guy. And that evens out in the rankings. But you're playing these guys for different things. Like, Godwin is a great wide receiver 3 to have because he's always going to get you 10 points. Mm-hmm. But Lockett is a great like flex play because, he could get you like 3 points, but he could also get you 25.
Yeah,
Godwin's not going to get you 25.
Think about it this way: a guy who gets 10 points every game and a guy who alternates between 5 and 15 are both going to average 10 points per game, and that's kind of the Godwin versus Gabe Davis thing, just in a with easy numbers. Not that that's right. Exactly what they're doing, but that's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next one. Toughest rank, Jordan Addison. You have him at 35. Is this because your brain knew that Jordan Addison belongs in the top 5, but your heart wouldn't let you do that? Or why is he such a tough guy to rank?
Well, because based on his performance this season, you would think he'd be a little bit higher, but people aren't really understanding that Carolina's pass defense has been very good this season. It's their run defense that they struggle with. And personally, I don't think Kevin O'Connell is a really stupid offensive coach. So I think that he will run the ball more against a weak interior, and they will pass the ball a little bit less in this game. And then I think it gets more concentrated as a result.
Do the Vikings win this game, do you think?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. It would be really funny if they didn't, though.
Oh, yeah, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, but yeah, the Panthers' fourth fewest fantasy points given up to wide receivers. They did give up a touchdown to a super stud last week, so that does kind of skew things a little bit. Do you know who scored the touchdown last week?
Carolina was playing who?
Seattle.
Who caught it?
A rookie.
Jake Bobo?
Jake Bobo, baby. Honking on Bobo.
I will never honk on Bobo.
All right, most surprising rank, T. Higgins at 11. That is kind of surprising to me, too, because the Bengals have been somewhat discombobulated on offense. Granted, a lot of that has to do with an injury to Joe Burrow, but T. Higgins at 11 going up against Tennessee. Going up against Tennessee makes it a little less surprising.
Yeah, it's surprising because he's been pretty bad so far this season, but he has a great matchup here. I think this is a get-right game for Cincinnati's pass offense. So the usage has been there. I think the results come this week.
All right, there we go. Pretty straightforward. Sneaky start, DeAndre Hopkins, which is funny because we spent yesterday dunking on DeAndre Hopkins being bad on the Titans, going up against the Bengals, obviously, because that's how matchups work.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think he's a back-end wide receiver, too. I mean, he's not somebody you should be benching right now because he's getting so many targets. And I think Cincinnati is perfectly fine with giving up, like, 7-yard receptions to DeAndre Hopkins. So, to me, this is a game where he finishes with, like, 8 catches for 65 yards.
Okay, so that's 14.5 PPR points. That's not bad. That's right. About, I would say, back-end wide receiver, too.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right. Maybe 23. You might rank him.
I would. All right, I would do that.
Zay Jones is your tough sit. Wide receiver 38 on the week going up against the Cleveland Browns. Browns are giving up the fewest fantasy points to wide receivers on the air.
Yeah, Zay Flowers, not Zay Jones. But
I meant to say Zay Flowers. Right. Zay Jones, change your name. Your name is now Jay Jones.
Jay Jones. Yeah, so Flowers, he's the number one receiver in the offense. There's no denying that. It's just the matchup is terrible, and I don't think that he's going to do very well as a result. I mean, it's not real complicated. I don't trust the Baltimore receivers in this matchup.
Yeah, that's pretty fair because the Browns have, ignore Ja'Marr Chase, but they locked up an okay to bad passing game last week in Tennessee, and I kind of feel like that the Ravens have a slightly better passing game than the Titans, which is just god awful. So yeah, I can see you benching Zay Flowers this week. Also Jay Jones, you can bench him. All right,
that's right.
Tight ends you're higher on, Gerald Everett. You have him at 11. Expert consensus is 18. No Mike, is this a no Mike Williams thing that this might be going forward? Is this that he's playing the Las Vegas Raiders?
Mostly the matchup, but a little bit that he's probably going to get like one more target a game. I don't think it's going to be significant, but he'll go from like 4 targets to 5 targets. And so that increases the chances that he scores a touchdown by a little bit, and it increases his yardage projection a little bit. And he's playing a bad defense. So I think he's, definitely a good streamer this week.
Yeah. And so, I agree. I picked him up some places where I had an iffy tight end situation. I'm going to start him this week, and then he's going to be gone for 3 weeks, and then he's got 3 top 10 matchups in weeks 8 through 10. So let's ride. And then it's bad after that. You can get rid of him after that.
Gerald Everett riding the it is so over, we are so back train all season.
That's right. Oh, boy. That's going to be me with Gerald Everett. Speaking of it is so over, we are so back. Logan Thomas, we are so back, baby. Tight end 10 going up against Philly. ECR on him is 34 because everybody's a bunch of cowards.
That's right. Logan Thomas is going to be a top 12 tight end this week. He's the only thing that's going to consistently work against Philly. He's going to have like 7 for 47.
Yep, he's going to be good whether you nerds like it or not.
Yeah, suck it, nerds.
Sorry to hear about his metrics. How about this for a metric? Top 10 tight end, baby.
He's going to get a metric ton of targets, am I right?
Let's go. Boom. Donald Parham. Walker, I hate you for this. he started literally as a joke, and now he's you have him at 20, ECR is 36. He's 3 touchdowns in 3 games, Walker. Math says
another touchdown. He scores a lot of touchdowns. That's the only reason he's on here.
Yep. And if you're desperate, I would say yes. I guess Donald Parham, if you're in a 20-team league. He is a tight end one in a 20-team league.
Just barely.
Just barely. Tight ends, you're lower on. Dallas Goedert. We were kicking around the idea of dropping him in the blob. You took him and threw him all the way to the back. Tight end 17. You're saying you would rather start Logan Thomas than Dallas Goedert this week.
That is correct, yes.
Oh, my God. Explain.
It's the usage. I mean, even last week when they made a concerted effort to get him more involved, he still had 5 for 41. Like, they're just not throwing him the ball down the field anymore. It's all underneath dump-off stuff. And I just don't see the upside right now. They're not looking for him in the red zone. They're not looking for him down the field. He's just he's a safety blanket option. And I don't think that's the right usage for him, but it's what they have decided that they desire right now. So I'm going to rank him as though he's a security blanket. And, you know, it's unfortunate because he's a better player than that, but we'll have to see if it changes.
Yeah. And my buddy texted me about how the Eagles offense doesn't look as explosive as it did in the past. And they're kind of like, they're not trying to snap you in half like it felt like they're trying to do before. They're just kind of being more methodical. And because of that, there's not as much underneath for Dallas Goedert to work with, I think, is what's going on, where he's just kind of, there's a lot of muddled stuff, and they kind of need to go back to trying to snap you in half with the passing game. Like, finding DeAndre Swift is like the worst thing that could have happened for the fantasy prospects of the rest of the team, because now they can run the damn ball with somebody other than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, they're happier with just like running the ball 35 times and grinding you down.
Yeah, they're happier playing like 70 plays instead of like 58, and they score the same amount of points. It just takes forever to do it now.
Right, so that their defense can not be on the field as much because they know their defense isn't quite as good as it was last year.
Yeah, I think that's how they respond to the guys that they lost, you know, and the is letting the rookies kind of, because they retooled in the draft very well. They drafted like everybody from Georgia. But that's letting the rookies learn in game and letting them adjust and stuff, I think, is helpful there. All right, Jake Ferguson, your rank is 18. Consensus is 13 on Jake Ferguson. He had a bunch of targets last week, but I kind of called it as like a 1 week thing with Ferguson. I think people are just dipping back into that well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely recency bias because the matchup against New England is really bad. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see him getting loose very often in this game. Yeah. You know, maybe he ends up with like four catches on underneath stuff, but I don't see a touchdown coming. I don't see it being much yardage. Like, he screams like 6.5 points to me.
Yeah, he's he has 11 yards in 2 out of 3 games this year. So
not great.
Just, yeah, last week in what was a good matchup with the Cardinals, he was 5 for 48. But before that, he was 5 for 22 combined. So I'm going up against New England. I'm going to lean into the 5 for 22 part of it as well. I agree there. Hayden Hurst, you don't have ranked. ECR is 19. I asked it after week one. Was Hayden Hurst just because they had nobody else to pass to? And that seemed to be the case.
Yeah, pretty much. Everybody else was either dinged up or bad. And also I guess there really is no other explanation because it didn't make much sense. New Orleans is usually really good against tight ends, but yeah, they just loaded up Hayden Hurst with targets because he was the healthy guy. And then when everybody else got healthy, he predictably went back to the back of the pack.
Yeah. Dinged up bad, and it was Bryce Young's first start, so like he knew he could just dump it off to Hayden Hurst, and so I think that was a 1 week wonder. Toughest rank for you is Pat Freiermuth. You have at 13. I don't know what to think of Freiermuth. I think he's going to be on the good side of things more often than not, because it's like you have two samples where he was decent this last week, but then week one he had 5 yards, but that was also the 49ers. So I think 9 through 13 is where he'll be most weeks for you.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, last week I went too far. I'll acknowledge that. He had done absolutely nothing, and it didn't look like he was going to do anything, but they retooled the offense a little bit, got him more involved. He's a good enough player that you're probably not going to bench him in most cases. Like, I know I have Logan Thomas and Gerald Everett ranked ahead of Pat Freiermuth, but I understand if you have Freiermuth just starting him They're in the same tier, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and another guy that kind of strikes me a lot like Pat Freiermuth, Hunter Henry, your most surprising rank at 9.
Yeah, I like Henry right now. I mean, he's getting the targets. He's a major part of the offense. The Patriots have been throwing more this season, so I think he's going to continue to be a top 12 tight end on a pretty consistent basis.
Yep, until they get unleash their secret weapon.
I'm assuming you're talking about Mike Gesicki.
That's right. He will no longer make you sicky. All right. So your sneaky start this week is the greatest tight end prospect since the last batch of tight end prospects before him. Kyle Pitts, the much ballyhooed, much hyped tight end that was promised, is your sneaky start at tight end 12 this week.
Yeah, I think you're playing him again because Jacksonville is bad against tight ends. And he did get 9 targets last week, so they are trying to get him involved at least.
Yeah, and he'll, you know, have a new high for the season. He'll get like 5 for 60.
Hey, that would definitely be top 12.
Yeah, that would be his highest finish this year. So, oof. Tough sit, Zach Ertz going up against the Niners. You have him 16. I don't know how tough this is.
Well, it's just because he's gotten a lot of targets this year, and people may have gotten used to just plugging him into the lineup, but it's a bad matchup.
Yeah, those places where I had an iffy tight end situation, I picked up Gerald Everett. I was getting rid of Zach Ertz. Because this is a bad matchup.
Yes, Zach Ertz is going to have like 3 catches for 8 yards.
Yeah, it'll be fun, but not in the like actually fun way. In the like the Papa Shishu tweet where it's like, therapist, you're saying things are quote insanely good to protect yourself.
LMAO that owns.
Yeah. All right, let's talk some sicko stashes. So, Walker, we'll start with my 0% quarterback. We kind of already talked about it. Or did we? It's actually a different 0% quarterback. I gave you the rope-a-dope, Walker.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
It's truly sickening.
Well,
he has been a starting quarterback in the NFL before.
Okay.
He has won a Super Bowl ring.
Trevor Siemian?
Correct.
Ugh.
Absolutely. He's going to be starting for the Jets draft.
You're cutting out.
And he is better than... Oh, he is free and he's going to be better than the Jets. He's going to be starting for the Jets for half a season because he's better than Zach Wilson.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. That would be gross. But yeah, in a 2 quarterback league, it might be worth it.
Walker, these are sicko stashes. These are for sickos. That's nasty. Why your guy is Josh Dobbs.
Correct. Josh Dobbs has he's a good stash this week because you shouldn't be playing him. He's playing San Francisco. But after that, he's running enough and not turning the ball over. So he's been largely fine as a QB2.
Walker, he has 96 rushing yards in the last 2 games.
That's pretty sick.
That is disgusting.
Good for him.
That is your quarterback sicko stash. Mine is Siemian, which if people don't know, he got signed to the Jets today or yesterday. So that's pretty sick. Our 2% wide receiver, yours is Wandale Robinson.
That is correct.
Mine is also Wandale Robinson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's clearly the most talented wide receiver in New York. And he might even, if Darren Waller continues to not be what Darren Waller was, he might be the best pass catcher in New York.
Yeah, I mean, he was coming back from a pretty bad injury and working his way up and still caught 4 or 5 targets against a really tough defense. So I think he's going to be somebody that they try to get involved in the offense, and it's possible that he ends up being the number one receiver in the offense. So I think worth a stash.
And number one receiver in that offense with Saquon having a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
He might be the best player on that offense for a while.
I don't love that.
Yeah. I don't love that either, but that might be true.
Yeah. You might get quite a few, like 7 catch for 60 yard games out of Wandale.
Yeah. Ooh boy. All right. Walker, who is your 1%? Let's see, your 1% wide receiver. Or do you want to guess mine first?
You can guess.
I'm going to say that the 1% receiver is Michael Wilson.
That's correct.
That's mine also. Let's go.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I don't necessarily think he's all that good, but he has made quite a few big plays early in the season, and he has 23 fantasy points in 3 weeks. So he's not, like I said, he's not great. He's only got 9 targets through 3 weeks, but he's caught 7 of them. He is clearly a downfield threat. He's big and fast, so it's possible that he could have value later in the season if they decide to focus more of the offense on him.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it, too. It was like everybody was hyping him as this big guy to draft. And I was like, well, he might be good, but I'm not going to draft him. Like, it's going to be something that develops throughout the year, and you just go pick him up. And considering he's rostered in 1% of leagues, I think you can just go pick him up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you're 4% tight end. For some reason, I thought it was a 1% tight end. And I was like, are you telling me to go pick up Durham Smythe or Kylan Granson?
I am not doing that.
It's Logan Thomas.
Yes, we've talked 4%
about him. 4% rostered. Yeah, we talked about him. He's on my streaming tight ends this week.
He is.
All right, so I have a 2%. Is it 2%? Yeah, 2% running back. Almost skim milk of running backs.
I feel like I'm gonna be annoyed, but is it Melvin Gordon?
No, it's not Melvin Gordon.
It's
a player that you actually like.
There's currently only 3 running backs listed at 2%.
And they are?
The other two are Michael Carter and Pierre Strong. Is it Pierre Strong?
Yeah, Jerome Ford sucks. I like Pierre Strong, Pierre Fast. He has, and they have, if they turn the running game over to him, at least a bit more, they have really good matchups coming up in weeks 8 through 12. So this is like a stash. San Francisco, Indy, and a bye, so you can get away with not stashing him after this game, but worth a shot because I don't like Jerome Ford. I think Pierre Strong is a better football player than Jerome Ford.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the thought process there. Jerome Ford soaks up the bad matchups and averages like 1.4 yards a carry, and then they go to Strong after the bye.
Yep. And they're going to go straight to Strong, but they're going to give him a chance to play more after the bye because they're going to retool and be like, this Jerome Ford shit's not working. And then because it's better matchups, they'll be like, oh, this Pierre Strong guy.
Pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah. So
even if maybe we don't actually know if he's any good or not. He is fast, though. I will say that.
I kept saying Pierre Fast when we were talking last year. And then I had one more player. Who was it? A 0% rostered tight end. I didn't put him on the list.
Oh, let me look then. Sorry, I had closed out my Yahoo app.
Okay. Let me describe him to you, Walker. 0% rostered tight end, averaging 7 targets per game this year, gets 2 top 10 matchups against tight ends in the next 2 weeks.
Averaging 7 targets per game?
Yep. Averaging 7 targets, 8.7 PPR points per game.
Oh boy, there's too many of these guys.
He's a blast from the past, Walker.
Oh, Farrell Brown.
No.
No. Oh no. Oh, Jonnu, okay.
Jonnu, baby.
He's 0%?
Yeah, he's 0% rostered. Like, you look on the screen, it doesn't even have like his, where it says add, there's usually the roster rate under there. There's nothing.
That seems crazy to me.
Yeah, 0% rostered. It's because everybody's like, they stink because Kyle Pitts isn't doing things. The reason Kyle Pitts isn't doing things is because Jonnu Smith is getting 7 targets per game.
Hey, Jeff, check your phone for a notification.
Oh, did Walker just pick up? Let's see. Notification? I don't have a notification yet. Oh, boy.
Oh, is it? Well, it's for Sleeper.
Okay, I'm in Sleeper. I see MP. Oh, Walkman 32 made a roster move. Walkman 32. Let's see. Walkman 32. Dropped Hayden Hurst, picked up Jonnu Smith. Let's go.
That's right. Woo! It's time.
That's time. Walker is going full sicko.
I'm starting Jonnu Smith in my Dynasty League this week. Let's do it.
All right. That'll do it for this week's episode, the ranking episode. For Big Daddy Ranks, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Check us out on TH Fantasy this week. I think we're going to skip this week's episode. I haven't told Mike. I think we're just going to put that in the main feed. Shh.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.